Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
I don't care what you've heard, you're going to enjoy this hour. I don't care what's going on in the country right now, you're going to be blessed when you listen to this hour. It's Daniel Britt and Friends, and my guest is a guy who is a prolific songwriter who has recorded a number of albums of great music and has a great way of communicating this music, and a guy, honestly, I hadn't heard a whole lot from lately, but we're going to get reacquainted with Gordon Jensen. Hey, guy.
Hey, Daniel. Good to talk to you today.
Hey, listen, your music has been in my mind for quite a while. I mean, of course, some of your songs are just so well known that we sing them in church. And I want to get to know your story, the Gordon Jensen story, from the very, very beginning. That seems like the natural place to start.
Okay, sure.
Where were you born? Where'd you grow up?
Daniel, as some people have said, I was born at a tender age. In Windsor, Ontario, Canada. Now, that is suburban Detroit, Michigan.
Uh-huh.
And I'm 56 years old, Daniel. I started in Windsor in 1951, lived there till I was 8 years old, and then my family relocated the U.S., moved us to Arizona. And I lived there into my mid-teens. They then moved to Detroit. And before I was out of high school, I was traveling with a group called the O'Rells. And I started writing songs there, and one thing led to another. I've lived in Nashville, Tennessee now for about 33 years and traveled out of here. So in a nutshell, that's it.
Cool. Probably one of the most well-known songs and the song you think about singing in church that you've written, Bigger Than Any Mountain. I love that.
I appreciate it.
Tell me when these songs started coming up, and was that the first thing? You were writing songs and that led to singing them, or were you a singer first and a songwriter second?
Yeah, I'll tell you, Daniel, from the time I was a boy, about a 10, 11, 12, I loved gospel music, and I was just so gung-ho to do it. I wanted to play and sing it, and really that came first, and then the writing began to happen shortly thereafter. By the time I was 16 or 17, I was writing songs.
What time around was Bigger Than Any Mountain written?
Well, Bigger Than Any Mountain is mid-70s. Okay. I've been writing for a number of years, going back into the late 60s. Bigger Than Any Mountain was somewhere in the 74, 5, 6 range, somewhere in there.
And would you consider that like an early praise chorus?
Well, yes, because a lot of churches picked it up and started singing it. Interestingly, I was with a group called the O'Rells that we later boiled down to a part-time group called Gordon Jensen and Sunrise. We added some players, musicians, and we did a lot of Christian television at that time, and that's really how that song got out there. Christian television put that song on the map.
And I've spent enough time with Bill Gaither to know that his songs are as popular as they are because they are singable, and churches have picked them up, and so that's, with this song, very singable for a large group of people.
Daniel, that's always been a key. You know, if the song is positive, if it's doctrinally sound, if it's singable and simple, then congregations can take hold of it and sing it, and that's been a key to a lot of Gaither's success.
Mm. Well, and Gordon's success.
Daniel, I'll give you an example of that.
Yeah.
I've got a song called We're Together Again, and a lot of churches have used that for a praise chorus. And some years ago, John Osteen at Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas, scheduled me into his church only because of that song, because they had used it as a chorus. They didn't know anything else about me, but they sang that chorus.
Wow. Wow. So it opens doors.
Yeah.
This is Gordon Jensen on Daniel Britt and Friends.
Bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears, God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all my questions, bigger than anything, God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all the shadows that fall across my path, God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all the confusion, bigger than anything. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. And he's bigger than all my questions, bigger than anything. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all the giants, the fear and unbelief. God is bigger than mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all my hang-ups, bigger than anything. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. And he's bigger than all my questions, bigger than anything. Yeah, he's bigger than any mountain that I cannot see. Bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all my questions, bigger than anything. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Yeah, bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all my questions, bigger than anything. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Oh, bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. And bigger than all my questions, bigger than anything.
Hey, you're listening to Daniel Britton Friends with some great music and a great songwriter. His name is Gordon Jensen. Gordon, how are you most known? Are you most known as the songwriting or for the singing or just both?
Well, I'm really not that known at all. I think what it is songs that I've written have been around for years. Most of my songs, Daniel, have been made known by other people, yeah. Other artists and groups and choirs. And although I have gotten a fair amount of airplay on several of my titles, what happens to me, Daniel, is people know my songs, but they don't know me, or they don't associate the songs together as having come from the same writer. Yeah. I find that everywhere I go.
When I think of the song, It Made News in Heaven, that's Squire Parsons and the Kingsmen, right?
Absolutely. That was the era when Squire was with them, and he was the one who sang it with the Kingsmen. And boy, they rode that song down the road for a long time and really put it out there.
Now, you mentioned you grew up in a suburb of Detroit. You grew up in Canada. Are you Canadian then?
I am a Canadian.
Yeah.
And that's a fact. But Windsor, Ontario, interestingly, if you look at the map, is on a little peninsula. It wraps south of Detroit. It's actually due south of Detroit. We used to look north at the Detroit skyline.
Wow. That's kind of cool.
That is neat.
So your interest in gospel music, define what you mean by gospel music, because today that term is so broad.
Oh, certainly it is. It's a very broad term. I mean, to a lot of people out there, when you say gospel music, they think simply of the black culture and their music. Gospel music, to a lot of people, is Southern gospel. There's another term that you hear a lot is Christian music or contemporary Christian music. You hear all those terms.
Yeah. And so you grew up on a mixture of all that, or were you kind of a quartet guy or what?
Well, Daniel, when I grew up, actually, I first became aware of Southern gospel music in the early 60s. Hmm. And in that day and time, we didn't have contemporary Christian music. It didn't exist as far as I know. You did have black gospel out there.
Yeah.
But contemporary Christian music is something that developed and evolved really maybe at the very end of the late 60s through the 70s is when that happened. So what I heard was church music, old hymns, gospel songs, a blend of high church to some Southern gospel. But Southern gospel was the only thing that I heard that had any rhythm to it, you know, that was kind of fun music.
Yeah.
It didn't make the papers in this world when I prayed through. It didn't seem to matter to all but just a few. But in the golden streets of glory, celebration banners waved, 'cause it made news in heaven when I got saved. Angels were rejoicing, hallelujahs rang, when Jesus touched my life, I was changed. If my name was written down, it made news in heaven when I got saved. Not long ago a beggar, but now a child of the King. This whole world just shrugged its shoulders. It didn't mean a thing. Oh, but it was God's approval that my spirit really craved. And it made news in heaven when I got saved. Oh, angels were rejoicing, hallelujahs rang, Jesus touched my life, and I was changed. Everyone in glory's realm knew my name was written down. It made news in heaven when I got saved. It made news in heaven when I got saved.
Tell me about the song that you wrote, Redemption Draweth Nigh.
Well, Daniel, I wrote that song in 1969. I had somebody come to a concert I did recently and brought me an original piece of sheet music. It was on Silverline Music. And the copyright notice on that is 2 years earlier than what most people see when they see the copyright notice, because they had to recopyright the thing into another company. But 69's when I wrote it. That was during the Vietnam War. Mm. I was talking about war and strife on every hand and violence in the land and, you know, the riots of the late 60s. That was our paradigm for war and strife. Things have changed. It's much worse today. It's much more focused in the Middle East, and what we call violence in the land today is shocking compared to what we knew then. But I wrote the song about the coming of Christ, and it was true then, it's true today, but we're 40 years closer now than we were then.
That's the voice of Gordon Jensen, and he's on our guest line today on Daniel, Britt, and Friends.
Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told how Jesus was. Would come back again someday. And if by then it seems so real that I just can't help but feel how much closer His coming is today. There's war and strife on every hand. So much violence fills the land. And still some people doubt that He will ever come. come again. But the word of God is true, and He will redeem His chosen few. So don't lose hope. Soon Jesus will descend. Signs of the times are
everywhere,
and there's a brand new feeling in the air. Keep your eyes upon the eastern sky.
Gordon Jensen on Daniel Britton Friends, and we're hearing some classic sounds. And one more of, I have to just be honest, probably the two songs that really introduced me to you were, of course, Bigger Than Any Mountain. That's just a great song that I grew up singing. And I think, weren't you on a Gaither video and they did that song?
Yes, I was on a Gaither video where they sang Bigger Than Any Mountain. They had me do Redemption Draweth Nigh, and
that's right.
Janet Paschal did Written in Red on there.
Oh, that's right. That's right. And then the other song, I worked at a radio network, and we had a request show every Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And every Saturday, we'd open up the request lines. And every Saturday, the request for Gordon Jensen's song, The Sweetest Song, This Side of Heaven.
Okay.
And that's maybe one of the first places I heard your voice. And it was probably about, I don't know, 10 years ago or so.
Yeah. Daniel, that song was first recorded by the Nylons.
Yeah.
Nylon Singers.
Yeah.
And they did the very first cut on it. And you know what? They went in the studio with their producer and discovered something I didn't know. I didn't know the little song Jesus Loves Me would sing in counter to the chorus of the song the way you hear it on the recording.
That's cool.
They discovered that. It was a shock to me. And I'm sure glad they discovered it, because when I did my version after them, I just copied them.
Yeah. You know,
I went out and hired me some little kids and
that's
did
great.
The same thing.
And I like the way it you hear kind of the off key kids piano in the arrangement there at some point.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So when was that one written?
You know what? I'd have to go back and look, but that song was written probably in the 80s, mid to late 80s.
There's a song I started singing as a child in Sunday school. It made me feel so good to sing it. I loved it then, and I still do. 30 kids in an old church basement, and one piano out of tune. Mrs. Brown would ask for favorites, and when I'd raise my hand, she already knew. The sweetest song this side of heaven, sung by children young. Simple too.
what makes that song so special is just knowing it's oh so true. The sweetest song this side of heaven, sung by children young and old. The sweetest song loves me, this I know. The sweetest song this side of heaven.
Yes, Jesus loves me.
The sweetest song.
Moved to Nashville. Tell me the time frame again that you moved to Nashville and just
moved to Nashville in 1975. I came here for the reason that most people involved in music come here, because Nashville is centrally located. If you travel a lot, it's a very central city, and that's why it became a country music capital. Came here because also the music business was focused here. I was having to come to Nashville so much because of business related things, it just made sense to move here.
So tell me about all these years you've been in that Nashville scene within the music industry and the Christian music industry specifically. What have you noticed, or what you got any cool stories from working with some of the insiders?
Oh, well, I tell you, Daniel, there's a lot of neat stories. Some I would not share. Some I would. Some of them wouldn't make sense to people who weren't on the inside. But when you're here in the city working with music and people involved in music, you know, you see and hear a lot of things. I worked with a lot of terrific producers and people who were starting out. I had a choir album done of my songs back in the late 70s, right at the beginning of the 80s, and I had people singing on that choir album and doing backup for me who were not known at all. They were just trying to make a living and doing backup work. One of them was Sandy Patty.
Wow.
I remember that. I did a pro-life single back in the mid-80s, and I needed somebody to play guitar on it, and I hired Stephen Curtis Chapman for $50 to play guitar on that thing.
That's funny. That's great.
Well, another one, too, is I had an album that I needed to go back in and enhance. It had been out for a couple of years. I wanted to change some things and add some stuff. So I hired a guy for a whole day for $100, and he came in and did all kinds of neat things to the album. His name was Tony Brown. And since that time, Tony Brown has gone on to be the CEO of MCA, and now he's at Sony Tree doing the same thing.
Wow. Oh, wow. Hey, most people know how this radio program works. This is not live, and we're recording this on Valentine's Day, 2008. So the song that I'm going to ask you about, that you've already alluded to, with Janet Paschal, Written in Red, I mean, how many times has that been played, especially on a Valentine's Day program? But how many times, you know?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, that's just one of her signatures.
It is, Daniel. Interesting thing, that song had been around for a while before Janet did it. And, you know, I have songwriters ask me, Gordon, how do I get my song out there? Well, my answer is, I don't know. I don't have a clue. Because that song had been around. Henry and Hazel Slaughter had titled an album, Written in Red. Larry Goss got a hold of it, produced Rusty Goodman, had a great cut on it, produced Steve Brock with it and others. But nothing happened until Janet got it.
Wow.
And I was sitting at my desk in the early 90s and got a phone call from a guy named David Warren Ingalls in Tulsa. They've got a chain of radio stations out there.
Yeah.
And David said, "Have you heard Janet sing your song, Written in Red?" I said, "David, I didn't even know she had recorded it." He said, "It's our most requested song." And I sat there and listened. He played it to me long distance over the phone. And Daniel, it went from there. A wonderful choir arranger named Camp Kirkland took her version, choralized it, and choirs are still singing it. I mean, I got calls in the last couple of weeks from choir directors who are using it.
Wow, wow. How does that make you feel to hear that one of your babies, one of your things that you labored over like that has just gone super?
It is a wonderful feeling, Daniel, because it's gratifying. It says to me that, you know, this long journey has been ordained of God, that the Lord has used me to bring forth some messages, you know, to his people through song. And, you know, that's the evidence of it to me. So it's very heartwarming.
This is Gordon Jensen on Daniel, Britt, and Friends. Let's listen to Janet now sing this very classic Janet Paschal tune written by Gordon Jensen, our guest today on Daniel, Britt, and Friends.
In letters of crimson, God wrote his love on a hillside so long, long ago. The blood of Jesus.
You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends with Gordon Jensen on our guest line. And Liz, we've talked a lot about some of the classic songs you've written, and we can talk more about that. We've talked about the industry and your relocation to Nashville and some of the changes you've seen go on there in the city. And all that's good, but there's a driving force behind what you do. And I would dare say it has to do with a strange man who hung on a cross. Tell me about your relationship with Christ, and tell me how his faithfulness has driven you to keep doing this so many years.
Well, Daniel, again, there are a lot of people in secular music who I respect as great writers and great musicians, but the problem with me is the message. In gospel music or Christian music, it's all about the message. What are we saying? Because to me, the message, the lyric of the song, is sort of like the guy who's riding in the car. The car is the vehicle. It's like the music, the rhythm, the sounds. But it's not the important thing. The important thing is what's riding in the car. That's the message. And when I was a kid, first of all, I owe so much to my parents. They were godly people. They were lay people in the church, but loved the Lord with all their hearts. And when I was 6 years old, I accepted Christ into my life. I mean, I became aware that I was a sinner, that I needed to personally embrace the Lord. And I went to my mother and told her how I was feeling, and we knelt down beside an old green couch in the living room, and she led me in the prayer. Yeah. And I accepted Christ into my life. In fact, it made News in Heaven sort of touches on that.
Wow.
But that was the beginning of the journey for me, Daniel, and it's continued ever since.
Jesus, my light and salvation. Jesus, my song in the night. Jesus, my hope for tomorrow. Jesus, my Lord and my life. My rock, my fortress, my sweet hiding place. Jesus, my shelter and warmth. My friend, my comfort, my strength for today. Jesus, my peace in the storm. Jesus, the water I thirst for. Jesus, all that I need. Jesus, the heartbeat within me. Jesus, my everything. My rock, my fortress, my sweet hiding place. Jesus, my shelter and strength for today. Jesus, my peace in the storm. Jesus, my light and salvation. Jesus, my song in the night. Jesus, my hope for. My Lord and my life. Jesus, my Lord and my life. Jesus, my Lord and my life. Jesus, my Lord and my life.
Gordon Jensen, by the way, is on our guest line today, and well, let's find out what's going on in the here and now with your ministry. You still doing some songwriting? And
oh, I still am. In fact, just releasing an album now of new songs. called I'm Listening, Lord, and they're all new songs, and getting it out there as we speak. I continue to travel. In fact, I'm traveling now as much or more than ever. And I've got a ministry associate who handles scheduling for me, Ron Leonard. He's doing a great job and keeping me busy. In fact, we'll be in four places this weekend. We were in as many last weekend, and on it goes.
And when you travel, are you performing concerts or singing in churches?
Yes, all of the above.
Yeah.
I do all kinds of things. I sing at events and banquets and church services, and speak sometimes in churches. I just do all kinds of things that are ministry related, but especially with the music.
And some of the songs that we're listening to that I have in my collection is from a River Song album, His Very Best, and some of your classics that are on there. Do you have a more updated version of classics if someone wants to get a hold of those?
Well, actually, we are building a website as we speak. Mm-hmm. It's going to be called GordonJensen.org, www.GordonJensen.org. We hope to have it up by the beginning of the second quarter of this year.
Great.
And it'll be comprehensive. I've just released every album that I have in CD form, and all of that information will be on that website when we get it up. But all the albums will be available in CD, our tracks will be available, and so on. And I have an album I released years ago called Gallery, which predated the one you're referencing.
Mm.
Bill Drehler put that out on Riversong. But Gallery is currently still available. We have a series of Greatest Hits, Volume 1, 2, 3, and we've got Volume 1 out, just released. And, of course, many other albums.
Is it hard to choose, like, one favorite or two favorites out of all the songs you've written? Is there one that sticks out in your mind?
Here's the thing, Daniel, and this is true of any writer you talk to. When you write a song, it's the most exciting idea you've ever heard in your life.
Yeah.
And it's like your child, you know. You write the song and put it out there, and then the public decides which ones rise above others.
Yeah.
And so it's not my choice or decision. It's theirs. The ones that touch their nerves and heartstrings, those are the ones that get out there. It's like Tears Are Language has come back around for the third time. The Booth Brothers are doing it everywhere and on Gaither's programs as we speak, and it's getting a new life.
Tears Are a Language That God Understands?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I've had that happen with several songs.
Often you've wondered why tears come into your eyes and burdens seem to be much more than you can bear. But God, He is standing near, and He sees your falling tears, and tears are a language that God understands. God sees the tears of a broken hearted soul. He sees your tears, and He hears them when they fall. God weeps along with man, and He takes him by the hand. Tears are on the
That's Amy Lambert singing Tears Are a Language That God Understands right here on Daniel, Britt, and Friends with our guest today, the songwriter behind that song, Gordon Jensen.
Some of the songs that people would know through the years, I have a song called I Should Have Been Crucified.
Mm-hmm.
And I Should Have Been Crucified has been recorded by scores and scores and scores of people, groups, choirs, everybody from the Oak Ridge Boys to Steve Rock. And, I'll turn on the television even now from time to time and see somebody singing that song.
I was guilty with nothing to say, and they were coming to take me away. When a voice from heaven was heard that said, let him go, take me instead. Oh, I should have been crucified, and I should have suffered and died. The spear in his side, and the pain it should have been mine. Those rusty nails were meant for me. Yet Christ took them and let me go free. Oh, I should have been crucified, and I should have suffered and
the Oak Ridge Boys with I Should Have Been Crucified, another one of the great songs written by Gordon Jensen, our guest today.
Jesus will outshine them all. Mm. I actually have heard that song done with orchestras, almost high church sound. And I turned on the television one time, Daniel, and Roy Acuff sang the song on Hee Haw. So I've heard it done in every style. And
yeah, really.
Every fashion.
Oh, what glory awaits me in heaven's bright city. When I get there, such sights I'll behold. A million scenes of rare beauty will demand that I view them, but Jesus will outshine them all. Mansions will glisten on the hills of glory. Happy reunions on streets of gold. Angel choir singing glad praises forever, but Jesus will outshine them all. The sparkling river flowing, happy faces all glowing, a land of splendor where night never falls. The golden glass gives reflection to that city's perfection, but Jesus will outshine. Mansions will glisten on the hills of glory. Happy reunions on streets of gold. Angel choir singing glad praises forever, but Jesus will outshine.
Other songs that you might know would be You're the Only Jesus Some Will Ever See, We're Together Again, Desert of My Days, Bring Back the New Again, Back in My Jonah Days. Oh, goodness, there's so many songs.
You mentioned how important doctrine is in theology, and I love that Gloria Gaither says that songs are like portable theology. You got them in a two-minute, three-minute, they're little sermons that you can take and pass around. And
oh, absolutely.
Spread the truth. So keeping true to doctrine and a secure foundation in biblical truth, how do you put a song together when you hear an idea and then have to pair it with the biblical truth and then maybe add a rhyme to it or a rhythm? Can that be difficult, or for you, does it seem to come fairly naturally?
Well, it can be difficult because I hear a lot of stuff out there. And I've heard songs that were were really terrific, except
yeah.
There was just one area, you know, that just was a little out of kilter or something like that. I've actually had people take a couple of my songs, and there was a point of disagreement. You could tell because they altered a few words, a line or a phrase. That does happen. But with me, because I've traveled all these years in so many places, and God has allowed me to meet so many people and get such an overview of the church and the kingdom of God, that you know, I've been able to develop a view that allows me to write songs that are very much in sync with the church at large.
And we can watch the website again for it to become available. It's gordonjensen.org, correct?
That is correct.
And Gordon, your schedule will be posted there so we can come see you.
Yeah, that will be part of the website, is we'll have the schedule available.
And the entire Gordon Jensen collection will be available there too. Some classic things you've written.
I appreciate the opportunity to visit with you on the air. I appreciate what you're doing for the kingdom of God and for gospel music. And I'm just glad that I've been able to be a little part of it through the years. And I'm not finished yet. I go places and people will say, well, we thought you were a much older man. I'm not a kid, Daniel, but yeah. I like to feel like I've still got some miles on the odometer that I haven't turned yet. So I'm going to be around for a long time, writing and singing and traveling and looking forward to exciting adventures yet to come.
Well, you keep it up. And thanks for taking time for us here on the program.
Thank you, Daniel. God bless.
Bring back the night. my heart was glowing, and every new day was a challenge. But indifference turned me cold, made things stale, made them old. Now I've lost the happy song I used to sing. It seems that I've forgot the most important thing. But I don't want this callous feeling anymore. Oh, please bring back the way it was before. Bring back the new again. I want to see you again. Bring back the way it was when we
inside out. Yeah, inside out. That's what this change is all about.
You've been listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.